I want to welcome everyone joining us online today. It's the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We're in a period where there is some restrictions in church or in gatherings, public gatherings. And so we're having the service only online for this week. I hope you've been taking care of yourself and your family and you've been observing the rules, the health guidelines that have been given to us by the our health authorities. I want us to take care of ourselves and look out for one another. It's important, you know. In the course of the week, something interesting happened. I hope you've been using your face mask because it's part of the guideline that has been given to us. So I was at work and put on my face mask as usual. And a colleague of mine observed that, there was a kind of a tension, from this part of the face mask. You know, you put it across the back of your ears, the pinna. So it was pressing so much on it that my ears were like, that of the rabbit. And she was kind of very concerned. Especially even after I had removed it, it still stayed there for a while. And she reckoned that it was because maybe the strength of the cartilage of my ears were not as strong as hers, because when she removed hers, ours was okay. The ears returned not to normal. But when I did mine, it was, kind of pointed like that, don't worry. I hope you're not trying to check out my ears this morning. Okay, it's good. It's good that you can't probably see much of it, since you're just watching it on the screen. But don't worry, I'll take care of it. I've been sleeping, putting my ears on the pillow just to straighten things out, before the week begins again tomorrow. Anyway, that's on a light note. In spite of all the restrictions, there are certain things that I believe that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be restricted from. For instance, our prayer life still continues. Study of God's word still continues. There is no restriction about our encounter with our Father, and that's the beauty of it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore now come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. There is any time to be closer to God in our prayer and our walk with Him. I guess it's actually now. So let's keep bombarding the heavens in our prayer work and let's keep receiving instructions from Him as we open our Bibles, to feed our spirit man. There shouldn't be any restrictions whatsoever in that particular aspect of our life. I also want to encourage you that there shouldn't be any restriction whatsoever in our generosity, as a people of God. Part of our worship as people of God is given, given to the work of God, given in church. And right now we're not meeting in person, but there are still opportunities to remain generous, towards God. Later on in the course of this service, we're going to be providing information about how to give. If you're a member of our church, you already know how to give, and we have bank account details that you can make transfer to and stuff like that. So let not your generosity go down. And that's not just related or limited to the church. I want to encourage that your generosity should be extended to other people, we serve God, we serve other people as well. So it is the time to allow your bowl of mercy to be open to support people, both locally and, of course, for some of us that have my families overseas, to be able to support them in this particular very, very challenging period world over. Praise God. It's so good to be in church again today, and I would just want us to jump straight into God's word. I would like us to please open our Bibles to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 23. So shortly before we do that, shall we make the declaration of faith as we proclaim the supremacy of God's word together, please? This is something we do as a church. And that's not just because of our tradition, but it's because we want to keep reminding ourselves about the supremacy of God's word. Let's go. This is my Bible. It is God's word to me. It is true, infallible, and can be trusted at all times. As I hear God's word today, I declare that my heart is receptive, my mind is open. Because of the light from his word, I take only right steps, I make only right decisions, I say only right things. I leave this place a better person than I came, transformed forever by the power of his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter number 23. And we're going to read the first four verses. Matthew chapter number 23, and we're going to read the first four verses. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. And do not do according and do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do, for they say and do not do." Verse 4. "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for another opportunity to go into your word. Lord, we just ask that you breathe afresh upon your word and let it come alive unto us. As that our desire is to live like you, our desire is to walk like you, to talk like you, to become conformed to your image and your likeness. We know there is no way that this will happen except if we behold the truth of your word. Therefore, Lord, we ask that you will open your word up to us this morning. And Lord, as I speak from your word, let your power go forth. Let this power go forth to heal, to deliver, to strengthen, to encourage, to enlighten, to exchange our weakness for your strength, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will help me as I speak, that I will speak not of myself and not from myself, but Lord, you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word drop as the rain and distill as the dew of the morning this morning. Let it bring refreshing to us all, making us more and more conformed to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because you do this and much more, because we've prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say aloud, amen. You know, the latest national census that was conducted in Australia shows that 52% of the people who are living in this country actually identify themselves as Christians. And that's about over 12 million people. That's massive. That's obviously significantly more than, you know, the population of many countries around the world. Over 12 million people as Christians in Australia. But just before we begin to celebrate that number, you realize that there are several polls again have also shown that there seems to be no appreciable difference between the way professing Christians live and how the rest of the culture live. In other words, there seems to be no appreciable difference in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we talk, and in the manner of our engagement with the society compared to the rest of the culture. Those who are professing to be Christians, when they x-ray our lives, it's not too different from compared to others. Those who profess to be Christians are involved in as much sexual immorality, just like any other, the rest of the culture. You know, at the home front, there are as many troubled homes amongst those that profess to be Christians, just like the rest of the culture as well. When it comes to money matters, the rate of indebtedness and money mismanagement is as common among those of the people that, that profess to be Christians and those that, you know, do not. When it comes to things like worldview and our preferences, we're not too different from each other. When it comes to, you know, things like, simple things like even lateness for duty, addiction of all kinds, Christians or those who profess to be Christians are not too different compared to others. When it comes to, sexual sin, cohabitation, divorce, it's not too different. The rate is not too different between those who profess to be Christians and those who are not. In other words, we live like just other people. Christians or those who profess to be Christians live their life in such a way that is very similar to others. So you're not able to separate one from the other. But really, this ought not to be so. This is not exactly how we ought to live. In other words, we're not supposed to live in a way that makes us very difficult to be separated and to be distinguished, you know, from the rest of the culture. But this morning, by the grace of God, we're starting a new series that we have titled, How Not to Live. How Not to Live. And we're going to be reviewing something that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to a set of people, about a set of people, about how not to live. There are only two possibilities, perhaps maybe three, that makes it to be the way it is now, such that those who profess to be Christians are not too different from those who do not profess to be Christians or the rest of the culture. I've come to realize that there are probably two or three possibilities. It's either, number one, that there is a problem with Christianity, number two is either is probably there is a problem with Christians as well on their own, And the third possibility is probably there is a problem with both Christianity and, of course, Christians. Now, with my little knowledge and understanding and having interacted over the years with people, both within the church and outside of the church, I can categorically say that there is obviously no problem with the Christian faith. There is obviously no problem with discipleship, with the faith that Jesus actually handed over to the church, you and I. There's no problem with that. I guess the problem is indeed the manner in which we follow the Lord. And so the problem is indeed with Christians, not exactly with Christianity. I've just mentioned that there are over 12 million of us in this country called Australia, at least those that profess to be Christians. Think about that. There were only a handful in Acts chapter number 17, verse 6, and the Bible says they have turned the world upside down. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, when these guys arrive at a place called Thessalonica, the Bible says they have turned the world upside down. So with the number of people, of those of us that are Christians, or at least that profess to be Christians in Australia, if we are truly Christians and we live the way we ought to live, this country ought not to contain us. You know, the entire world is supposed to feel the effect. We're talking about 12 million believers. But the problem is that many of us, unfortunately, don't live as we ought to live. And that's why the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular chapter is so, so important to us. And we're going to be delving into it and dealing with it over the next couple of weeks. It's in Matthew chapter number 23, the place we have just read this morning. Now, on the surface, it seems that Jesus was mad and was mad with the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, Jesus was mad at these people. But if you note very well, you discover that Jesus was actually not talking to these people directly. In this particular place, he was talking to others about the scribes and the Pharisees. And the core of his message, if you actually go deeper, is, look, guys, don't live like them. This is how not to live. And you will see him, he will talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. This is the way they live. This is what they do. But don't live like them. Don't live like them. And the first thing that Jesus is going to be talking about has to do with how they talk and how they walk. And that's why I want to talk today specifically about what I've titled, All Talk and No Walk. All Talk and No Walk. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 23. Let's jump into the text. The Bible says in verse 1, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. Stop. Now, this is just setting the stage and letting you know that these are the people that Jesus is talking to. So you see right away that Jesus is actually talking to multitudes and to his disciples. He's not talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. I will imagine that in the multitude, there may be scribes and the Pharisees, but the attention of Jesus was actually not, the words of Jesus was not directed at them, at least in this particular point in time. There have been other times before now that we have actually had Jesus having an encounter with the scribes and the Pharisees. But in this particular instance, Jesus is actually speaking to the multitudes and the disciples. And it's interesting also that there are instances when Jesus will speak directly to the disciples, and there are instances when Jesus will speak to the multitudes. But it's interesting here, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes and the disciples. And he's going to be talking to them about the Pharisees and the scribes. And he's going to be describing the manner of their life, but the core of his message is, that's not how to live. Look at verse 2. It says, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, we need to realize that at this point in time, this was the Tuesday what you refer to as the Passion Week. And the next couple of days, 3 days from now, Jesus is going to be crucified. So this is, in fact, has been described as the last public preaching, the last public crusade, if you like, of Jesus. Because after now, you will not see him addressing, the crowd or the multitude in this manner. So the last recorded message of the Lord Jesus Christ in public delivered to the multitude is actually here. And I believe that it must be very important to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have thought that there will be many more things that Jesus will want to tell the people who care to listen at this last few days of his life. But I think what Jesus is going to say is so, it must have been quite very important to him to have addressed them and to have told them, this is how not to live. So this was a Tuesday, and in the next few days he's going to be crucified. And then, this is the important message, it says in verse 3, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. They say and they don't do. So, let me break down. So, what Jesus is saying is this. There is an aspect of the life of the scribes and the Pharisees that I need you to pay attention to. And I need you to pay attention to it, not because I want you to follow that direction, but because I do not want you to live according to that pattern. That's not how to live. They say and they do not do. Backtrack a little bit. Who are the scribes? The scribes are actually people that are scholars. They were the scholars of their days, and they had very deep understanding of the law. You remember that in the Adarian time, there is not so much separation between the judicial law and the religious law. So they kind of match together. So these guys are versed in both because more often than not, the way they actually dish out, judgment is actually based more on the law, the law of Moses. So they are able to guide the community based on the law of Moses. They're vast and they're very quite they study it. They were able to interpret it. So they actually there are people that know the law. Those are called the scribes. And then you have a sect, a religious sect called the Pharisees. These guys were quite very popular, amidst the Jews. They were also very much respected. And of course, they were quite very influential. So if you like, these are actually the religious leaders of the day. Jesus is saying, but there is a way they live. There is a manner in which they live. They do a lot of talking, but they do very little or practically no doing. They are all talk and no walk. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. And he said, that's not how I want you to live, guys. That's not the way to live. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, they say a lot, but they don't do. They are all audio, but no visual, no image. That reminds me of one of the old TV that my father had, that we had, in my father's house when I was a young boy growing up. this TV was one of those. Obviously, it predated my birth. I met the TV there. So, and there were not many channels, but even the few channels, we usually struggle. The sound is usually there, but no image, And when you try to do and move things around, it will be like, there is a lot of hands, poured on the screen, moving and running all over the place. It's all sound and no vision, no image. And that describes the life of this people. Jesus says, that's not how to live. Why? Because God is big on doing. God is so big on doing. God takes doing, very seriously. He wants you to hear it. He wants you to say it. But he's most impressed and highly honored when you do it. And by the way, what we're talking about this morning, of course, Jesus was making reference to the scribes and the Pharisees, but obviously it's to all of us. All of us. Like I said earlier, 12 million Christians in Australia. We should have turned the entire world upside down. But the problem is, not many of us actually live exactly the way we ought to live. And so this is exactly the message this morning. Why don't you walk the talk? Why are you about talking and not walking the walk? And that's the message this beautiful morning. James chapter number 1 says something. He said, but be doers of the word. James chapter 1 verse 22. He said, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That tells you that in God's dictionary, there are probably just two group sets of people. There are those that the Bible refers to as doers, and those that the Bible refers to as deceivers. It says, make sure you're not just a hearer of the word, make sure you are a doer of the word. So you are either doing or you are deceiving. And this is actually very pathetic because the Bible refers to them as you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And that's what you find around. Unfortunately, when we x-ray the life of people who claim to be believers, these are self-deceiving people. Why? Because they are hearers, but they are not doers. But that's just at one level. There's another level whereby you actually talk about it, but you don't do it. Now, this set of people, they hear it, they understand it, but they don't do it. And the Bible says you are deceiving yourself. But what about the people, and that includes many of us, that we actually talk about it, but we don't do it? I believe that those are also deceivers. It's just that their level of deceiving is different. It's probably at a higher level, because they are not just deceiving themselves, but they are also trying to deceive others. You get what I mean? So if you are a hearer of the word and you don't do, the Bible refers to you as you're deceiving yourself. But I'm saying that if you are someone who speaks about it to others, and you don't do, it appears to me that you are not just only deceiving yourself now, but you are also deceiving others. Unfortunately, that's the category that the scribes and the Pharisees actually fall into. They try to deceive others. They tell all the right things. They say all the right things, but they do nothing. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 4 that they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They won't do anything about it, you know. And if you're going to see, I mean, we're going to be seeing them over the next couple of weeks by the grace of God, you'll discover that Jesus seems to be very hard and harsh on the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, the harshest or the most, direct confrontational words kind of seems to be reserved for this group of people, because you see, woe unto you, woe unto you, in several places. But it's not just that Jesus was mad at these people. Jesus was obviously mad at that mindset. It's not just the people, it's that mindset, that way of life, that outlook to life, that philosophy, you know. And what's the philosophy? The bad philosophy is you talking but doing, not doing. Just talking about it, but not doing. I'm sure you're probably thinking, oh, that's really bad for these folks. It's bad for the scribes and it's bad for the Pharisees. Thank God I'm not a Pharisee. Thank God I don't have the title of a scribe. but that's not exactly correct. Because I want to tell you that what Jesus is actually saying applies to you and to me. You say, how? I don't talk to people. I don't teach, you know. I don't speak about the word of God. I don't teach people about the word of God. By the way, James chapter number 3 makes it clear. James chapter number 3 verse 1 says that, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know, so if you're somebody who is teaching God's word, like some of us have the privilege of doing, you know, that calls us to have a very a great deep reflection on exactly our own way of life. Why? Because there is a strict judgment. The Bible says you can't just be telling people how to do things or how to live and you are not doing it exactly. So there is a strict judgment. But having said that, because this applies to all of us, and I just want you to see how it applies to you, even though you are probably not a preacher like some of us are. You're not an evangelist. You're not a pastor. But it applies exactly the same way to you in some sense. In what sense? Because every one of us, we are teaching something. Every one of us, we are saying something. You know, the issue is not so much about you opening your mouth to speak. The issue is that you are communicating. Every Christian or everyone who professes to be a Christian has communicated something already. Once you profess to be a believer, or once you identify yourself as a believer in Christ, you are saying something already. I hope you know that there is a difference between speaking, opening your mouth to speak something, and communicate. What I mean is by that is this. It is possible for you to not open your mouth at all and yet communicate to other people. You know, you have said nothing, but you have indeed said a lot. You know, when we were small, you know, as a child, when my mother or my dad would come in into a place and maybe we're behaving badly or something, and then my father would just come in and he would just look like that. He has said nothing, but we got the message, you know. we just calm down and you just immediately disappear and run away because you know that a communication has gone forth. And it is also possible, on the other hand, to speak to a group of people or to a person and they are saying, what is he talking about? What is he saying? Because you are verbalizing some words, but they are not getting it. So what I'm saying in essence, people of God, is it's possible for you to communicate without speaking. So when we talk about speaking God's word, it is not only for preachers like some of us. as a believer in Christ Jesus, you have already started saying something once you identify yourself as a believer. Let me tell you a couple of things that you have started saying. You know, you are already saying, once you identify yourself as a believer, that God is supreme over your life. You're already saying that God's moral laws are the standard and you expect that everyone should strive to attain it. That's what you're saying. Why? Because you say you are a Christian. You're already saying that Jesus is your Lord and Master. That's what you're saying. You're already saying that when God's law, for instance, conflicts with culture and society, you will follow God's law. That's what you're saying. You're already saying that my life purpose, my life goal is to please God, whatever it takes. That's what you're saying. But you're saying, but Pastor, I've not said that to anyone. But that's what they are hearing. That's what everyone who recognizes you as a Christian, that's what they are hearing. So you are already communicating something. The question here is, are you living what you are communicating? Are you doing your talk? Are you walking your talk? Because they are already hearing something, even though you have said nothing. You have said nothing, but they are hearing something already. Now, the point I'm making is this. You have two options at this point in time. You know, the options are really very simple. Number one, your first option is stop presenting yourself as a Christian. You know, stop presenting yourself as one. If you don't want people to keep hearing what you don't intend to say because you are not willing to live according to that standard, then stop presenting yourself as a Christian. You know, stop, you know, holding and carrying the Bible around and saying, I'm going to church. Because when you do that, you're presenting yourself, you're speaking already. They're hearing something from even your action, even though you have opened your mouth, you have not opened your mouth to say anything. You know, stop, go to your fridge and remove Jesus loves you from it. You know, to your car and remove Jesus loves you. Because when people see that they identify you as a Christian, and then you can't come tomorrow and say, well, I've not spoken about anything about God's law to anyone because they have already heard it from you, even though you have not opened your mouth. You know, but the second option is really what I really desire that you take this morning. And that's the second option is that, why don't you begin to live as one? Why don't you begin to walk as one? You've already been doing the talking anyway. Like I said, you don't need to open your mouth. Identifying yourself as a Christian is already doing the talking for you. There is, you know, haven't you come across people that say, oh, and he calls himself a Christian? And you wonder, no, I didn't tell them that I was a Christian. No, they've heard it from your composure, from the way you have composed, you have presented yourself in times past. Maybe you have not even said it, but they've seen you take your children to church. They've seen you, you know, playing music, worship music, and blasting it out to, you know, to disturb the entire neighborhood. and then you keep behaving badly, you know. And they say, and he calls himself a Christian, or she calls herself a Christian. You know why? Because they've heard you loud and clear, but unfortunately, you are not walking in the precepts of the master. You're not following, you know, your talk. So do what you say, do what you have been telling others to do. Even though you have not opened your mouth, you are communicating something to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors, to the people that know you. You are saying, I'm a Christian, and they know that as Christians, there are certain things that ought to be done by you. There are certain ways you ought to behave, but unfortunately, you are not doing exactly that. By the grace of God, I have been a pastor for some years now, and I've been part of the church for a long time, over 30 years by the grace of God, and I've met all kinds of believers. And to be honest with you, there are instances when I've come across believers and I say, Lord, I really thank you because you are indeed a very patient and a merciful God. Why? Because on the basic, some basic, you know, Christian way, in terms of walk of life, the way Christians ought to, you know, comport themselves, you find it grossly lacking in people who call themselves believers. And you are like, Lord, I can't even stand this person for a minute. and you have been sending this person for 10 years, because these are people that profess to be believers even before some of you are born. You know, they tell you, I've been a Christian, you know, before you were born. But there is no modicum of Christ-likeness. There is no vestige of the love of God in their life displayed in any way. And I said, Lord, how are you coping with these folks? You know, and maybe the Lord will say, the same way I've been coping with you, you know. But what I'm saying is, do what you say, people of God. Do what you have been telling others to do, and do what they have been hearing you say. God is big on doing. He wants you to match your words with action. It's not just enough to say, I'm a Christian, walk as one. That's actually why Jesus was mad with the scribes and the Pharisees. For they say and they do not do. And the same way it applies to you and to me today. You say you are a Christian, but you're not doing exactly what Christians do. You know, what you know, there is a very small, there is a very short parable in the book Matthew chapter 21 that describes, you know, very succinctly the fact that God is really big on doing. You know, he wants you to hear it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. He wants you to teach it. He wants you to say it, whether you open your mouth or you display it. But he actually, more importantly, wants you to do it. He wants you to do it. He's big on doing. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 21. It's a parable. It's a very short parable in verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go, work today in my vineyard. So this is describing a man who has two sons, and he comes to the first and says, why don't you go into my vineyard and work? And verse 29 says, he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Okay, so this boy says, Dad, I'm not going to do it. But later, after the father had gone, he regretted it and he said, oh, look, I will go and do it, you know. And he went, you know. And then in verse 30, then he came to the second and said, likewise. Exactly what he has told the first, he told the second. And the second said, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. So the first one said, I'm not going, Dad. But later, he went, right? The second boy said, yes, I will go. I will do it right away. But he did not go. Verse 31. Which of the two did the will of his father? In other words, which of those ones will his father be happy with? Who has impressed the father? That's a simple question. They said to him, the first. That's the point. You know, God is not obviously endorsing, you know, disobedience here. He's not endorsing the fact that he gives you an instruction and you say to his face, I'm not going to do it. But he's saying that there in his estimate, in God's estimation of our obedience, it's more about what we do rather than what we claim or what we say we're going to do. All right? So if you are a Christ follower, do exactly like Christ followers do. As a Christian, you know, this is what you have been saying that you have probably not been aware of. As a Christian, you have been saying to other people, this is what they are hearing. That I pray to God regularly. Now, the question is, have you actually been praying to God, whether that's, you know, personally or privately or corporately? If you have not, then you have not been walking the talk. Because when you present yourself as a Christian, it is just assumed that you talk to your father on a regular basis. But here you are. The last time you spoke to your father was probably over a week ago, and that was why you were just driving out and there was going to be a kind of a small crash, and then you say, Jesus, help me. And that was the last time you spoke to him. You are not walking the talk. As a believer, what you have been saying to other people, at least what they have been hearing, is that there is a book called the Bible, and I read it, and from there I gain insight and instruction on a regular basis. But the question is, have you actually been doing that? If the answer is no, unfortunately you fall into the realm of the scribes and the Pharisees because you have not been walking the talk. As a believer, what they are hearing is that We are generous. I'm a generous person. The question is, are you actually generous? Are you actually generous to God? Are you generous to men? Are you generous to your family? Are you generous to the people in your sphere of influence? If the answer is no, unfortunately, you just fit very perfectly into the class of the scribes and the Pharisees. As a believer, what they are hearing you say is that I don't repay evil for evil. The question is, if anyone makes the mistake of stepping on your toes, you're going to cut off their foot. And that's not exactly Christ-like. The question is, you're saying one thing, but you are living the other way. As a Christian child, boy or girl, what they're hearing you say is that I honor my parents. The question is, have you been honoring your father and your mother? And if the answer is no, the thing is that you have just put yourself into the category of the scribes and the Pharisees. What I'm saying, people of God, is that Jesus is big on doing. He is big on doing. He doesn't just want you to talk about it. And the question is, are you a mere talker or are you a real doer? Because at the end of the day, the Lord doesn't want you to be all talk and no walk. Why? Because that's not exactly how he wants you to live. People of God, this series, How Not to Live, is simply to challenge you to begin to match your life with the life that Jesus actually came and died for you to live. It is not necessarily a condemnation. It is a challenge to say, that's not how to live. That's not exactly how to live. That's not how to walk. That's not how to talk. That's not how to engage with people. That's not how to reflect Christ. That's not how to live. And today what we have heard is doing all the talking and not lifting a finger to do the walk is certainly not how to live. Let us pray.